Welcome to Busted Pencils Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Class is in session. Here we are, the Wednesday after Easter. Jacob and Johnny in the house, man. We're ready to rock it. I'm going to go to Jacob. Jacob, how are you doing on this Wednesday? You ready for some class in session, my friend?
I am ready, Tim. I'm excited to learn. Every day is an opportunity when I have two great teachers like you guys here to bring me back into class here in class in session.
Oh, nice. Johnny, hey, Easter, man. We just came off of Easter, and I'd asked Jacob before we got to the show, but, you know, did you get a hollow Easter bunny or a solid Easter bunny?
Sadly enough, Tim, I didn't have any Easter bunny chocolate. I had a couple of Reese's peanut butter configurations. I think they were eggs. They might have been in the shape of bunny, but I would have to say not hollow then. Peanut butter filled.
That was my
thing.
Well, I was explaining, though, too, for those of you out there who, you know, have these arguments, you know, do we get the hollow Easter bunny? Do we get the solid Easter bunny? You know, depending on the way the state of the economy and the tariffs that, you know, President Trump was putting out there, I don't know how they impact the hollow versus solid Easter
bunny. There was lots of chocolate to be had. There was lots of candy to be had, you know, and it's midweek. And you know, it's a lot going on related to Easter. I guess it's been news. I mean, you know, Pope Francis has passed. And so big ups for all of us Catholics who, you know, appreciated, I'll say it, a progressive Pope.
Yes.
You know, one who stood by being anti-war and, you know, stood strongly behind supporting a lot of things historically, you know, religious leaders hadn't. And so we're going to miss him quite a bit and stand by this week for, you know, the next heavenly CEO. Sorry, that's a little bit sacrilegious for folks.
Well, I'm just like, so what color smoke is it that indicates that they've made the right decision? I forget, you know, because that's what we're all, you know, those people who are concerned and wondering and hoping who the next Pope is going to be. Those cardinals have a real, you know, kind of high tech maneuver of letting us.
Jim, it's the, you wait for the white smoke, the potassium chlorate, right? So you got black smoke and white smoke, right? So boom, we're waiting for that. And when we see the white smoke out at the Vatican, boom, we know there's a new Pope. So that's going to be happening. So, you know, related tangent to the Easter holiday, but you know, it's also hockey playoffs. Jacob and I, big fans of the NHL teams. So they're up and going, and NBA playoffs going on. So, you know, little sneak peek of, you know, hurdles and home runs this week. But it's a class in session.
It's a classes in session, Johnny. We were talking about, you know, yeah, the technology. It made me think about this. And we talked about this. Stephen Mintz, great writer, great historian. You can find some of his blogs, his best blogs, I think, in Inside Higher Education. Put out a piece last week now. You know, the coming reckoning, higher education, and the reality here is what he was talking about was AI and its implications on higher education across the country. I know we had some thoughts about it, but over the weekend, I got into a conversation with another colleague. You know, I talked to another educated educator who doesn't talk education with us on the radio, but, you know, gives me an ear to listen to sometimes. And I got to tell you, I think I'm not real sure there where Stephen was going, which was he was trying to project higher education 10 years out. And I don't think that what he put in there as projections apply to 10 years out. In fact, I would say that what Stephen's talking about, some form of an AI university, even in a higher ed exclusive AI university, 10 years? No, way too late, way too late. 2 to 3 years, the impact across higher education is going to be earth shattering. And it was one line that I went back to in his piece that made me say, wait a minute. 10 years? No. And he talked about the fact that and the impact on tenured faculty and faculty, full-time faculty. Johnny, you know, you're there. I've been in this position. And, you know, he kind of took aim at the mode of instruction that a lot of higher education seasoned faculty typically use, which is the stand and deliver methodology with some form of a, let's call it a PowerPoint presentation to direct the lecture. And the sense of a large portion of faculty saying, why would anybody replace me? I'm the biggest expert. And we've talked about expertise too, Johnny, on this many a times. But why would they replace me? Who in the world is going to be able to bring the expertise that I have, and who's going to create PowerPoints like I've pointed out? And what Stephen points out is to say, guess what? AI can already do that. And maybe even sometimes better than Dr. whoever is out there. I thought about that and went, you know what? Yeah, I absolutely see that as true. And if that's true, that AI can already do that, Johnny, 10 years out, that's too far. 2 to 3 years, the shakeup in faculty ranks by AI taking on teaching duties is going to fundamentally change higher education. 10 years out, too far away, 2 to 3 years. That's where I'm at. Johnny Lupinacci, your thoughts?
Well, buckle up, Tim, because you sound like a professor hater. So I'm coming for you like you're coming for me. You know, I think that how you read this Inside Higher Education article, which is from last week, the coming higher ed shakeout over the next decade, American higher education will undergo a profound shakeout, by Stephen Mintz, Inside Higher Education. You know, we'll put a link into the podcast description for folks. But we're back at this, because Tim's a professor hater here, man, which is not that far off from being a teacher hater. And Tim, I don't know where you're getting this, but I will say first, before I address that, I'm teasing here, because I agree with you, Tim, on the fact that, you know, what Stephen lays out here, he says over the next decade. So I think in some contexts, you might be interpreting that as 10 years from now, here's what's going to be happening. And for a lot of our institutions, the AI twist on it is more recent, but this has been a shakeout and a coming change for several institutions of higher ed around the country that I would say they're about a decade into, maybe, if I'm more forgiving, about 5 years. But I agree with this article that over the next 10 years, like in the span of the next decade of higher education, we are to see some big shakeups. Now, Tim, I just want to back up when I say, like, oh, Tim, you sound like a professor hater. Because I think in general that people in education, teachers and professors, are a big, big part of that. Although sometimes they need to be reminded that to teach is one of the primary functions of being a professor. Even those of us who are in research positions, it is to teach how to do that research, about how we do our research, to, you know, mentor others into that craft and that expertise. So teaching is essential at all levels of learning. We are not going to, over the next decade, or I'll even say over the next century, see teachers removed from the role of teaching. However, Tim, where I kind of align to what you're talking about is the AI can replace bad teaching pretty quickly. So you say, like, AI can, you know, I can take a video, like a really good informative YouTube video I might use in class, and I can have AI create a PowerPoint for it in you know, less than 10 seconds. You know, I can have, you know, a quiz developed over about a reading in less than 3 seconds with AI. You know, students can say, summarize the main points from. So there are a lot of busy work tasks that I would say, by and large, and Stephen highlights this in the article, says undergraduate programs are rife with checking boxes and doing busy work. For a lot of students out there, there's no mystery. They say, make sure you go to class and make sure you check the boxes. And that's a big chunk of it. Well, that's no longer going to fly anywhere, at any level of any institution. You know, Stephen talks about student-centered learning, experiential learning, relationships that professors have with students in terms of human to human communication around a passion for and a deep understanding of a topic. That's not going away. AI can only scratch the surface of that. And so when we're talking with faculty, and this is where I'm going to defend my peers, Tim, you professor hater, akin to being a teacher hater today, which is rare. This is not Tim's typical MO, is that, you know, really good teachers are always getting better. And part of getting better at teaching right now is understanding what AI, if we're going to go that direction, I'll just say educational technologies writ large, different software platforms, different mediums for sharing information, and included in that AI, which many educational technologies now have a built-in AI feature to them. So we can group AI in with educational technologies. They are radically transforming the classroom. And I think this is one of those moments where we can reflect back on our past discussions, Tim. Anytime we're talking about technology, there's a propensity to either be for it or against it. And sometimes we just need to be with it. Mm. Not good, not bad. Let's figure out what's its powers and what's its pains. Mm. And I see a lot of really great teachers in K-12, a lot of really great school leaders out there saying, this is here. This is part of learning. How are we utilizing it so that our students are prepared for a world where these technologies will be part of their daily routine, part of their day-to-day work responsibilities? And that goes for higher ed as well. Of course, I do believe there are some people, anytime change is around, there are the people who say, no, this is not what we've always done.
Right.
And I'll flip back to, remember our conversations early about AI when I said, as a math teacher, I can remember these conversations about, you know, math computing softwares, calculators and things. And you know what it did? It made us be better math teachers. Less busy work, more relationship. Less, you know, take this, you know, these problems home and solve them. And more of like, show me how you solve these. Let's talk about creating problems that others might solve. Let's be active in our learning, not passive. And so I think AI plays a role in that. I think the ability to bamboozle students into busy work being learning is over. I don't think it ever really worked, but it passed for a while.
Okay.
So if you're a teacher who only creates PowerPoints and sort of puts those PowerPoints up on the screen, burns through them and says, okay, now read these pages, do these assignments, see you next class period. I believe, Tim, probably faster than the 10-year clock that, you know, Mintz gives here. I think over the next coming years, you're kind of outing yourself as not really a dedicated educator.
Okay.
So I believe in the capacity for teachers to be learners. In fact, we are our best at teaching when we're learning. And this is a big learning moment for how to teach. And it's liberating because I think for a really long time, students have had a Stockholm syndrome where they're like, can't you just give us a PowerPoint? Mm. Well, now we could say, you can just get a PowerPoint by using AI. I'm not going to give you a PowerPoint. Come to class with your PowerPoints that you got from AI. And let's talk about the fun stuff. Let's get into the weeds. Let's make sure you have comprehension and you understand what these points are, that you're not just memorizing some bullets, because AI loves to spit out some bullets, right? Some bullet points or some numbered lists. Let's talk about what they mean in the now, in our discussions, in our projects, in the things that we're doing in our communities. So I'm excited about it. And I really do think over the next 10 years, Tim, what Stephen lays out in that article is, you know, going to help higher education be stronger, be more connected, be more rooted in community, in a world community, because we can have online groups. We can have cohorts of students with faculty embedded in those. If those are things that faculty are resistant to, then they're going to struggle to find purpose and joy and maybe even employment. And then over the next 10 years, and for some places that will be sooner than the actual 10-year clock. But when I hear over the next decade, I read it as now, tomorrow, next year, the following school year. And by that 10th year, if you're not doing all these things, you've probably found a new pathway. And this is not for the weak of heart. Like, this is for the teachers out there. You know, we love when new information helps us do our job better. I mean, it's exciting. right? We get this capacity to maybe even be freed up a bit to do more of the really fun things that we, that drew us to actually being experts in our topic areas. So let's lean into that and make class time more meaningful, more about talking to one another, about building and forming relationships, not with other students and the teachers, but with the communities we're teaching in. And sometimes those are broad, right? Really broad online communities that have, I would say, since COVID, really been more of a mainstay in higher institutions of higher education that are not resisting this change that isn't just on the horizon, Tim. It's right in front of us.
But you point that out, though, and you say those institutions that aren't resisting it. And I would say, okay, Johnny, you're right. You got that. And actually, you yourself being committed to, you know, doing quality education, you know, you're already moving into that space that you're going to continue to use AI to just make you better, to create better situations. I'm looking at this, though, from the standpoint of, you know, I'm not a faculty hater for sure, but, you know, the vast, and in fact, you know, whether it's Jonathan Gierko and others that we've had talking about, you know, the effectiveness and the preparation to be great teachers across higher education, in a way, you and I have, having been teachers, we were taught to teach, having been teacher educators, you know, we're kind of coming at this with a little bit more of a knowledge base and a sense of pedagogy, pedagogical content knowledge, all of those things, where higher ed, you know, which is all of those majors that aren't about teachers, those faculty members just haven't gotten the training. And I'll just take this for a time. You know, one of our best partners, the Association for College and University Educators, AQ. If you're hearing about this and going, oh my God, I should become a better teacher. Well, first of all, check out AQ, go there, put in Busted Pencils and you'll get a discount, because we're all about supporting what AQ does, which is making higher education teaching effective, communicative, and powerful. So throwing that out there. But Johnny, there is, I would say, a dearth and even a resistance to acknowledging that teaching requires a skill level, a deep knowledge that goes beyond the understanding of, quote, a content. As you said, you know, whether it's, you know, somebody, a senior level professional expert, PhD in adhesives, their ability to teach that, teaching expertise comes down to, in a lot of that faculty in those realms that are outside education, expertise is communicated by the degree that they have and their stand and deliver approach. And I got to say that I still see that happening across many institutions. And I actually see active resistance from a lot of those faculty pushing against AI, talking about how irreplaceable they are because of their expertise, because of this. And I got to tell you, when it comes to expertise, my work with AI says that actually I can put just about any level of expertise into an AI teaching bot. And with the knowledge of what makes effective instruction, me, the ability to create that class as a self-contained type of an agentic type of teach, you know, asynchronous class where you sit down, load up, sit down and have, you know, AI teach you. I got to, as a student, I'm going to choose that over sitting in front of Dr. So-and-so's, you know, 50-minute, 3-day-a-week lecture, because I'm going to get a better education. I'm going to get a quality education. And it's going to be much more efficient. And as we talk about, particularly today's students, how they want education delivered really kind of comes into this realm of saying AI is just sitting there ready to do that. So will higher education, the faculty, we're only talking about faculty. There's, you know, we don't have nearly enough time in this classes and session to cover all this. Are faculty ready to step up and make the change that says, and this is where I'm going with this, Johnny, I am going to take command of AI and use AI to make my teaching and my experiences better. Therefore, I become irreplaceable. Because if you don't think AI can replace you, I think it can.
Well, yeah, Tim, it can replace bad teaching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just bad teaching. I mean, the logic, I'm just going to break into it. We don't have nearly enough time, but I still hear you as a professor hater. Because the logic, and correct me if I'm wrong, because as I'm hearing you, but what if I pull off the layers of the onion and just get to the core of your argument here? Like, you're making the same argument that could be made about books. The information to be an expert, and I think you said in adhesives, is out there in books and articles. Like, mm-hmm. you can access and you can read it. You could get a library card, or even now with the internet, you could get access to all the information you'd need to do to be an expert. Well, then how come there aren't so many experts? And how come the very best are mentored at some capacity to becoming the best? So this is a new technology that I think will increase, you know, how, like, our effectiveness of being great teachers. It will change some of the tools that we put to work in our classroom. It will speed up some of the things that take teachers a lot of time and take away from them being able to focus on that important ingredient that's always been there, whether we're going back as far as the technology of print text, right? That there is, if you don't embrace the tools of the trade, then you might not find yourself in the trade. But this is, AI is not more than a new tool. It's a pretty revolutionary one, but it's another tool in the toolbox that is going to make teaching ever more important and change some of the skills of that teaching. And I agree with you, like, we do need more. That's a separate but related topic that's been around forever as well. We need more preparation for teachers. Mm-hmm. They're teaching in higher ed, because for a long time you just expect, well, if you know it, you can teach it.
Right.
And that's not always true. So more attention and value to the product. And I'm gonna get into that for a minute here. And this is as far as I'll go into this conversation to wrap us up. Is that higher education needs to get back to the idea, whether they like it or not, that they're delivering a product and a service. And if that product and service is not competitive, and I hate that, it's a highly competitive market, but if it's not competitive and it doesn't have proof in concept, what you are getting when you go to XYZ University is mentorship from an expert in the area of study you're interested in, you know, advising, mentoring, question asking, discussion, collaboration, all of those things that make you that will build you up to being an expert in your field and a value to industry, then those institutes of higher education, those institutions are going to be, you know, struggling. Especially authenticity is ever important in this next coming 10 years. And I will say for a while, you didn't need to necessarily be that authentic. Higher education just was part of the pathway. And now it's sort of like, well, is it? Because it better be really good. And is it the right fit? And am I getting what I need? And are all those pieces part of my learning experience? And I think that AI is part of it as a technology. But I do caution, saying, like, if you know, when you say AI will replace you, you sound like you're chanting from the church of AI again. Like, you know, you say teachers need to take command of it as though it's like ever capable of taking command of you. Look, if you're a bad teacher, as we used to say this all the time, if you're just handing out worksheets in the math classroom, you're just printing off, you know, 101 math problems. Here, take these home. I'm going to do a couple examples on the board. You do the rest. And then here's a test on Friday. You know, there are updated pedagogies. There are better ways to teach. There are more projects. There are more engagement. There's more relationship building. There are more means of accessing the information that those teachers don't just persevere, but they thrive. And so I think we meet in the same place, Tim. We converge on, like, this is a moment where what it means to teach hasn't changed, but how we do it, you know, the tools we have at our fingertips, you know, to connect students, to build meaning, to have active learning, all those things are right there. So I'm with you. Like, all of our institutions that are committed to that, they really need to invest in how to help their faculty make that shift. There is always resistance. And so if you're a faculty member out there saying, but I've just done it this way for a really long time, then maybe you're saying new career, new shift to something new. There's nothing wrong with that. Or give it a try, you know, co-teach with someone who's implementing some of these strategies and these technologies. See what you might learn, because it is part of everyday life relatively quickly. I think you hit that point. It's happening fast. And it is an expectation of our young learners coming into higher education. Hey, how come what are we doing this busy work for? I mean, I would like to say a good out of this is death to the busy work.
All right.
So we can really get to the core of what it means to be learning, to be present at the point of getting an idea coming to fruition. And I think, you know, it's always been around. If you want to just learn and not be in a program, information is accessible. I mean, you could do it for relatively free with a library card or a public internet access. Still, people want to learn with and from somebody. And so classrooms will still be there. Will they look a little different? Well, we already learned via COVID in this kind of moment we're in that there are online communities, there are hybrid capacities. There's ways to learn that have expanded. So I think the ruse is up. You can no longer bamboozle students into, hey, you're going to have a really meaningful experience. And really, they're just, you know, sitting, getting, regurgitating PowerPoints and finding answers at the back of the book and, you know, assigning them, you know, to the questions at the end of the chapter. I mean, that stuff's for a long time. Everyone's always joked like, yeah, we're not really learning. We're just doing. And so I think the quality of education is going to have to go up. And we're going to see that or it's just going to, you know, institutions that aren't doing that, they're going to close.
They're
going to find new careers. Sorry. It's just things change and you got to adapt with change.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. We'll leave it at that. I don't know if we solved it or if we got to thinking, but hey, class is in session, but now you know what's up. It's time for your moment of Zen. Pessimism becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It reproduces itself by crippling our willingness to act.
Hey, Pencil Busters. Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils, class in session. You can always grab great Busted Pencils podcasts like this one on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you know you can always find us on the Civic Media website, or you can hit us up at bustedpencils.com. And don't forget to find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with homerooms, class in session. And you know what? Hurdles and home runs. And of course, Pencil Busters. That's right. You can always catch Busted Pencils at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny. And keep busting pencils.